Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin and I'm here in the Crafty Studio with my brother and co-host Devin.
Hello.
And I'm also joined by Scott Wiener from the Crafty Wiener and from the Crafty Studio. And we're here in your space, Scott.
So thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us, but welcome to the podcast. And we're welcome to be here in your space. This is super awesome.
Welcome to our living room.
Yeah.
This is great. This is what we call the living room, the hangout.
Yeah.
And it doubles as the podcast.
I remember
sitting on the couch that I napped on this afternoon.
Ooh, nice.
I napped from 2:30. When you're in your 50s, you nap every day.
Thought it smelled good.
Thought it smelled good. Here's to naps.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's funny because like seeing this space now in person, I've seen you in this space lots of times through your Instagram, just like following along. You like often come down, like it's like come down the stairs into the space. So like coming through that way and down the stairs into the space, I'm like, oh, I'm actually in the space. It's really cool. It's kind of surreal.
You know, that's like, I might cry. It's a little touching.
Because
cool. We do this stuff every day. It's really funny. We've been chatting before we got started, right? But there's things that we do every day that we don't realize have an impact.
Yeah.
And so my morning story, which was something that started for me as an affirmation to get my day started because I was going through a rough patch. Mm-hmm. And then I stopped doing it one time. And some vets reached out, and they're like, hey, you okay?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm just a little burnt out. You know, and I'm like, well, when you tell me to, you know, have an amazing day like me, it helps me get out of bed in the morning, and I want to make sure you were okay. So then to hear, especially a peer like you guys, it, you're like, oh, crap, I'm in the space. It's kind of weird for me. I'm
yeah, it's awesome.
It's really cool. Thank you.
Well, those are great. Like, I love the good morning makers, you know, yeah. Like, that term is like, when I hear you say that, it's fun to see that again. Like, yeah. It always pops up. I'm like,
Kendall laughed when you said that. Look at that.
All right.
I should do a quick throwback before we get started. My creative director, Kendall's behind the camera. She didn't want to be on camera tonight.
So those of you who are listening to this on Friday morning, we're also recording at the same time. So that recording will come out at some point. So you get to see all of our beautiful faces, including Devin, who we never see because he's always behind the camera. And then Scott and I are beautiful faces because we're always in front of the camera.
Yeah.
And Kendall will stay behind the camera. Maybe she'll poke her
she's
head
punchy
around.
Humor. Yeah, she's punchy humor on our videos. Like when you hear somebody making fun of me,
I do hear the laughing. Like, right. You're like, why are you laughing?
That's right.
All right, so let's get started, Dev. What do you have for us this evening?
Politicians, old buildings, and prostitutes become respectable with age. That's Mark Twain. I'll give it to you one more time.
Yeah, let's do that one more time.
Politicians, old buildings, and prostitutes become respectable with age.
That's deep.
That's pretty good.
Think of that one.
Politicians.
Yeah.
I guess.
Every old politician gets a great send-off. No one talks about everything they've done. Prostitutes, well, you have really no choice.
Yeah, right.
And old buildings.
Well, prostitutes make enough money that they don't technically need to be prostitutes, so maybe respectable is leaning towards, who said that?
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain.
He's probably talking about they go straight.
Oh, right.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. So they make a boat ton of money and
they're like, okay,
boat or become ton? Madams.
Is that a real word?
Madams. Right. Yeah.
Then they go straight.
Yeah.
And so they're now respectable.
Hey, you don't tell me. I don't know.
Dude, you're the one that came. You're the one that came up with
prostitute. That's knowledge guy.
Those of us in front of the camera prostitute ourselves every single day. There's a quote.
I got one more for you because this one I couldn't really figure it out, and I don't know the context of the person, so maybe that might help, but I don't know. Ready?
All right.
Old ideas sometimes use new buildings. New ideas must use old buildings.
Oh, you're sitting in that right now.
New ideas must use old buildings.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
New ideas.
What do you think?
Why do I honestly think?
Yeah.
Because the first time I walked in this building and smelled it and saw the bones, light bulb went off.
Huh. So it's an inspiration maker.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
I mean, I walked around this building when I first came in, and if you look at the videos on our YouTube channel, like the original tour, and then we had... Right, Ken, we've got the original tour, like when I first moved in, and then we've got the year, like when you came on board, the full, hey, is my $3 million investment going to pay off?
Right, right.
And if you watch all of those, and those are probably a year apart, the inspiration is still the same, like nothing changed. Like I walked in here and was like, holy shit. Like, what could I do with
your mind's like
right, exactly.
Okay, so for those who don't know, we can continue with that. But what is here? What did you walk? What did you buy?
So I moved in here in April of 2020, right as COVID was taking off. Right, because nice. I had a shop in my basement, and it was a 14 by 14 room. And my wife Debbie's like, I'm tired of the dust everywhere. And I had gotten a commission build that was supposed to be for a 15-foot-long table. Well, how am I building that in a 14 by 14 room?
Yeah, right.
And then there was a fun discussion about, well, you know, honey, you know, you could park, you know, we could both park in the driveway for like a couple months. And right. Yeah, no, we're all married. We know how that one worked, right? So I started looking for space, and ended up here. I had two choices. Northern Baltimore County, and off the NCR trail.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess it's now the Torrey C. Brown Trail.
No,
it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's?
I made that mistake once, calling it the old rails to trails, and I was corrected. So I know it's the Torrey C. Brown.
By who? Who?
Somebody in the community. Instagram. You know how it works. Like comments.
Well, yeah. If you look on Google, like it says Torrey C. Brown.
Okay. I think I was getting mixed up because from PA up, it's called something different.
Yeah. Right. So I called it the National Capital Railroad Trail because that's what it used to be.
Right.
That's what I grew up with it at.
Yeah, me
right?
too. Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, we called it Dust.
The Hike and Bike Trail.
Hike and Bike.
Right, right. So, so squirrel. So anyway, so my choices were, and this is nothing against Lansdowne, which is on the city line, basically, right? Yep. So it was 1,500 square foot of space in an old warehouse in Lansdowne on the city line for $2,000 a month, mm-hmm. or 4,300 square foot of space off of the trail with a river running out back for $2,000 a month.
All right.
And the drive was the exact same for my house.
Oh, nice.
So it was 25 minutes here, or probably more than 25 minutes headed that way after I dropped my kids off at school, right?
Right, yeah.
So this place was a no-brainer.
That's awesome.
And so I ended up out here, and the previous owner, I used to talk to him and say, hey, you know, if you decide you're kind of done with it and you don't know what you want to do with the building, I'll buy it from you. And I never thought it would happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was here 9 months, and he walked in, he's like, so,
this conversation about the building being purchased.
You know, are you really interested? Because what had happened was the space that was congruent to my space, where I showed you guys the resin clean room and the CNC is going to go, that became available. And my dad, may he rest in peace, he and I were talking. And I was like, so Dad, I haven't made any money, right? I have no idea what I'm doing. But there's another 1,500 square foot of space that just came available. And he always had that attitude in his business. Like, if there's space that's next to you and you think you're going to need it,
right?
He's like, what's it going to cost you a month? I was like, oh, it'll probably cost me another $150 a month or something. I was like, so why are we having this conversation?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I went to the broker and I said, hey, I may be interested in that space. Then the 4 weeks went by. I'm like, where's the lease? And then the owner walked in. He's like, so I understand you want more space. And that's kind of how it came down. So I purchased going back to your original question, I purchased a paper mill that is made, well, there's a newspaper article talking about expanding the old mill in Whitehall, and it's dated 1913. Man. So we have an old motor across the street in the old steam building. I tell everybody it's 1910, mm-hmm. but if they're calling it the old mill in 1913.
Right. Right. So you think that across the street might have been, was the...
My guess is late 1800s. I mean, it would have to be late 1800s. Right. I mean, I haven't found anything yet.
But this, what we're sitting in now is the expansion that they talked about in 1913, maybe? Or is this all still part of the old mill?
This is part of the old mill.
Okay.
Yeah. This would have to be part of the old mill.
Right.
Because the floor here, the floor chase that we did with the resin that nobody can see needs a good mopping. But this was part of the waterway.
Gotcha.
Oh, you know, so, and when we walked in the space that I called the Hope to Be One Day Event Center,
right? Yeah,
that was the water conveyor.
Right. Yeah, because that has all the
right. And there's a whole video on that one too. There was 50. I forgot how many yards of concrete. I'm looking at Kendall. All I know is $58,000.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
That's all I know is $58,000 worth of concrete, and they did it in a day.
Holy cow.
You want to go back to that prostitution quote from earlier?
That's got to be the biggest, like, space jump from a basement
yeah, right.
to, like, a full-blown mill. Like, I need a little bit more space. How about
this whole mill? I mean, it made logical sense, right? I mean, I was looking at a space that was – I figured – so I'm very close with James King of King's Fine Woodworking. He's kind of mentored me over the years, and we became friends, and he mentored me. And I kind of modeled, I called him, I'm like, hey, James, I'm out of space. What do you think? And he's like, well, I'm in a 24 foot. You know, I'm in roughly 750 square feet in my backyard. You know, if you can get 1500, and he's like, and I built my entire business in this shed.
Right.
You know, certainly you should be able to get it done in 1500 square feet. And when I was, because we had talked about expanding our garage at the house, and it's Baltimore County, and you got to be 50 feet off the property mm-hmm. line. So you start doing that. Next thing you know, you're like, okay, well, and it's, oh, by the way, it's the throes of COVID, right?
Yeah, right.
So building an extension onto the garage, and it's like, okay, well, it's built into a hill. So now do you make a basement in it, right? And put some living space in it. Next thing you know, your garage expansion is a $200,000 mm-hmm. project.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so so then I started looking outside the house mm-hmm. because $200,000 is a lot of money
yeah, right.
that I'm never going to get back out of my home just for a hobby that might become a job.
Right.
So back to 10 minutes ago,
she
put it, what'd you do, put some sort of a... Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have headphones on, Kim, so we don't know the sound effects that Kendall's doing.
I gotta tell more jokes and then put air after.
Just wait.
going back full circle, you get into that conversation about, okay, well, it's 1500 versus 4200, and it's the same amount of money,
right.
but I can go hiking on the trail.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I can go stick my feet in the river.
Yeah.
And so it kind of went down that path. I mean, I knew I needed more space. I was in a family business. I worked with my dad for 35 years. And one day he got sick. We went down this whole path. And as most people do when they get sick, they start reevaluating. And he mm-hmm. walked in one day and he was like, so I don't want you to have to work as hard as I did. So I think we should sell the family business and you should find something else to do. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
So I'm blessed from that perspective. But, you know, 18 months of prescription gate therapy, yeah, of finding myself there after that, I ended up in this building. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Right.
You know, I kind of sat around for 18 months, turned stuff on my lathe, made a couple videos on YouTube because it was it was kind of like a diary thing for me.
Yeah, right on.
And, somebody was like, hey, would you build us this table? Now, the funny side to that is that commission fell through and I never built the table.
Oh, man. So, well, thank you to that person. Mm-hmm. Getting you like on a different path, you know?
Yeah, right.
So if I want to go back to that quote, so about like old buildings, mm-hmm, what new ideas should be in old buildings. But just as like playing devil's advocate, if you walked into a big, brand new, open, clean, giant space that was like this, would you not have had the same type of inspiration?
I don't know.
You think you would?
I don't know.
I don't know. That's the second deep thing we've said tonight. Kendall's shaking her head no.
Yeah, I mean,
why not?
Just.
Oh, I wouldn't. No, right. Yeah. You would.
I
would.
I mean, I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, like, I think the feeling of the history and the, like, you know, you showed us the calendar from the 60s or whatever, mm-hmm, it was, and the, like, you know, the things pushed up and the old wooden cabinetry in one of the rooms that's, you could tell hundreds of people's or hundreds of hands have brushed, mm-hmm, over it and worn the edges, mm-hmm, down. All of that is just pure inspiration, pure, like, almost like a push, like you have to do something with the space. It has to be like, it has to continue to have a history built inside of it.
When I walked through this place, I literally had a mindgasm. Like my head exploded.
Nice.
Like, I mean, seriously, because you walk through here and it was such a dump. Mm. And I think, so the video, I didn't know as much about video production at the time. Mm. Well, I have it on portrait, so we can make it into a great short. But when I originally, where we're sitting right now, the podcast studio, right? When I originally came in here, it was just the shop. And I walked in there and the red door that you talk about, oh, I'm, mm-hmm, walking down the red door.
Yeah.
There was a padlock on it. And I kept saying to the broker, what's behind the padlock? And he's like, oh, it's just a hallway. And I was like, well, I'm in the fire department. I've been a volunteer since I was 18, right? Yeah. I'm big on multiple egress and safety. There's got to be, what's behind, there's only one way in and one way out of my shop, and it's a big roll-up door.
Right.
I'd like another way out. What's back there? And he's like, oh, it's just a hallway. So we're walking down the street, and I said, dude, there's windows. It has to be more than a hallway. Yeah. And he's like, I'm telling you, it's just a hallway. I'm like, okay, that's fine. So can you get with the owner? Can we cut the lock and see what's behind the door?
Mm-hmm. It's in the hallway.
Right. I'm like, because what I thought was, well, if it's just a hallway, then I can park across the street. I'll come in the hallway.
Yeah, right.
I'll make a little lobby. Yeah. Right.
Right.
So my friend, I think my friend Adam might have been with me when we cut the lock. I can't remember. But we cut the lock, we came in, I literally shit myself. I actually cried. So when you talk about like old buildings, like literally, you know, I walked in and I was like, oh my God, 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 oh my God. Like literally my, and that's what's on the video, because we purposefully cut the lock with me holding my phone on selfie mode.
Get that,
And I was mind-gasming. Like literally walked in here and I was like, this is what they said. This is the hallway.
Yeah, right.
So that was there, and then you came that, through.
Yeah, so the building, that building, you know, our Night at Roxbury throwback over here, mm-hmm, was there, but it actually had double doors on the first level and no windows up top.
Okay.
So one of the first things I did was, I'm going to turn this into a gallery, and this is going to be my office space.
Yeah.
And this is going to be, because I wanted to build a destination shop. I wanted friends to come and hang out, because I was technically semi-retired, and I guess I theoretically still am.
Right.
So the idea was kind of what we're doing right now. Friends show up,
mm-hmm,
we build some crazy shit, have a drink, you know, and hang out. So that this would work perfectly for that.
Right.
So one of the first things I did, just because it was terribly therapeutic, and we're still talking about that, you know, trying, mm-hmm, to find myself, is cut a bunch of holes in the wall and started ripping out, because there was a lot of water damage. And then it was like, okay, well, what do we make it look like? And then it's like, oh, well, we can make the outside inside and the inside outside, know, and it kind of went down that road. And that's kind of how it all started. Right. So when you talk about old buildings that give you something,
right,
new ideas, it gives you new ideas, right? Like, right, what can we do with that? If this was just like an empty shell, I don't know that you would have the same, or at least my brain, like Kendall said, you know, my brain,
right,
it's not happening.
Right.
But when I walked in here, I was like, oh yeah, Night at the, I'm like, Night at the Roxbury. I'm going to make that look like an old townhouse.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put a bunch of furniture here that makes it look like a living room.
That's great.
And all that's missing is the shuffleboard table that I said I built 2 years ago.
Oh, that would be nice. That would be nice.
That's exactly the board.
Huh? Yeah, that's a great
idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you came through this door, and that's where you saw all this.
Yeah. I'll have to find it for you and send it to you. I'm telling you, I did happy tears. Right. I'm not afraid to admit it.
So
I had man tears. I was like, oh my God.
So that was that when you bought the whole building?
No. So that then was... I just moved in. I moved in. I looked at it in March. I moved in April 1st.
And that was in this space over here?
Both.
Main, okay.
I took them both at the same time. I'm like, oh, well, go back to the owner. Tell him I want the hallway.
The hallway, yeah.
Right. And he came back. So instead of $2,000 a month, it was $2,100 a month.
Oh, man.
And I'm like,
so that's why your dad's like, yeah, just do it.
Yeah. So we put that all together. And then, yeah, I became friendly with the owner, and he was on site. And then I just kept saying, hey, you should do so much more with this building.
Right.
I mean, this is, like you said, I would wander around outside even when it was a disaster. Before we did all the concrete work and filled in the old water, there was a water conveyor out in the mill. And I would walk it just to walk it.
Right. Yeah.
Because, yeah, old buildings have bones. They have stories. Yeah, they have feels. Right. They have smells. They have.
Yeah.
You don't get that in a new building.
No. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I teach at Baltimore Design School, so I teach in a old building that's been completely redone. And, you know, it's now a new building, but it has the history of being the Crown Cork and Seal factory. So they made like bottle caps, corks, you know, that was how they started. And then they were the Lebo men's clothing factory. So they did all like, you know, men's clothing, jackets, suits. And then it was like the World War II and the Korean War, they used it for different things. And then it sat vacant for a bunch of years, and now it's a design school where we do fashion architecture and graphic design. So like the history of the building is in what we're teaching young Baltimore City School students what to do and how to become designers, how to think like designers and think like creatives. Like, it's such a cool history coming back around. But like when you walk into the building, it feels very new. Like there's the bones are there, and like some of the concrete, like the concrete floor on the second floor where the main entrance is, it's all crooked and bumpy because it was the original floor. They didn't actually do it. And it's got all these lines and things written all over it. But then there's like new walls, and all the HVAC system is all exposed, but it's all painted white. So it's got this like kind of back and forth between feeling new and feeling old, which I think, again, is like a really cool inspiration.
Yeah, I think you freshen it up, kind of like this room.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You leave the great parts, and then you get rid of the funky smells and dead animals.
Yeah.
Funny you should mention that. So we have found, So in Kendall's office, there was 1970s wood paneling over all the brick.
Oh, nice.
So I peeled it all back, and there was actually two nested in dead birds that had obviously frozen to death. Like,
oh,
they
man.
Were completely wrapped around each other.
Oh.
And I took a photo of it, and then, of course, I had to get rid of them. But we have found a mummified cat, lots of dead birds, skeletal remains, like literally.
Right. They just come in here. And-
mm-hmm. The absolute weirdest thing I found was, again, where this resin is on the floor right now. This was a pit, and there was plywood over it, and we were filling it with concrete. So I peeled up the plywood, and underneath it was a 1950-esque women's flat heel shoe.
Oh, weird.
A very old chapstick and a tube of motor lube. I took a photo because I knew nobody would believe
How
me.
How old is chapstick?
Right.
What's an old chapstick? Is that like 79?
I mean, I'm calling it chapstick. I have no idea what it was. You know, it was a lip balm. Yeah.
Mm, okay. Right.
I say like in a wooden tube.
Yeah, yeah, no, but I mean, seriously, I was like, what in the hell?
The old chapstick.
Yeah. Other than that, the only other weird thing that freaked me out is there's a basement down here. We have different verbiages. We've got Well Dweller, Freddy Krueger's basement. Well Dweller. Oh, we forgot to turn the ring off. Yeah. We'll just call it the torture room.
Yeah, right.
That's probably the PC term we're going to use, because it's got plastic walls and hanging bulbs.
Oh man!
So yeah, there's like Saul. So when I went down towards that room, I was just investigating the building. Yeah. I came around the corner, and then you know how you see stuff out of the corner of your eye, and I saw what looked like a leg, and I kind of looked over, and it was a thigh boot. I saw was the thigh boot. And yeah, there was about 15 seconds of pure horror I want to
leg
step?
Hopping at you?
No, all I could see was from the thigh down. That was it. And it was behind a wall.
Oh, he saw the like.
So, and it wasn't flat. Like, because the basement had flooded so many times, it was filled up with mud. So it had actual. Like dimension. It was. I mean, it looked like a like somebody could have decomposed in it.
Right.
And I just sat there and stared at it for like 15 seconds. I'm not walking around the corner. I was by myself too. I'm like, I'm not walking around.
We just got done talking about that type of stuff. We did a Halloween episode.
Yeah, Halloween episode.
We were telling like spooky stories that we've heard. Mm-hmm. And then I was playing devil's advocate. Like, we've all seen something that you go like, it's just a second, but you think, sure enough, there's someone in my room. It's just your jacket or like your wife's robe hanging in a different spot than it normally does, something like that. And that's what I think 95% of sightings are. And people just either don't, like, you could have ran out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, holy shit, saw a decomposing leg.
Yeah, right. And that's, yeah, that'd be and then, it. Yeah.
So if sometimes if you just take the time.
Right.
I did. I took like 15 seconds and I kind of wandered around and I was like, okay, it's just a thigh. Okay. I wonder if that thing fits because there was also 8 inches of water down there. So, you know,
hop along with one leg.
Yeah, we found it. And then we had a shopping cart. There was a shopping cart down there. Jeez. Like, how the shopping cart got in the basement, we have no idea. One of the previous tenants had filled up, we call Freddy Krueger's basement, completely with styrofoam panels. They were in a roofing company, and that's where they put all their trash. So we spent a week carrying that out and properly disposing of it. So, I mean, there's been some weird stuff we found. And then there's been some stuff when, and Kendall will be filming, and we're like, oh, this is definitely going to be like the gold nugget. We're finding Hoffa's body or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a total dud.
Yeah.
Like, well, that was disappointing.
Yeah. You can't believe what we found in this locked room.
Right. It's like our Geraldo Rivera moment that doesn't happen.
Right, nothing there.
We had that on one because we were trying to trace out where the water was coming through the floor in the basement. And there was a hatch. So I crawled through the hatch and the room was on an angle. And we're like, oh, well, this building flooded in 2012. It was under 2 feet of water. So we thought, well, that's the slosh of the the mud, right? And I went in there, and we were so sure that we were finding where the water was coming from. No, the whole room was sloped. There was really barely any mud in there.
How weird.
We were like, we put all that effort into opening this hatch, and there's nothing in there.
Well, that is a good idea. If you find another like wall where you think nothing's behind it, you gotta live stream that and be like, this is our, you know, we're opening the
tomb.
We
have one. We have one.
Have you done the live stream opening?
We have not done the live stream yet, but we have one. We went down there and we tried to crank it. Yeah, with a cheater and it wouldn't.
Like, I think right before you break through, go live and stream for an hour. Like, all right, here we are. We got this room. We got this thing. We don't know what's in it. Find out together.
That's right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
So in this building, we came, mm-hmm. when I came in, we were in, or at least I came through the big shop because I didn't follow your directions exactly.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And, your secretary, she joked, she was like, I feel like I'm Scott's secretary.
That's the
like,
second time this week.
She did say this. Yeah, she's like, this is the second time. Hi, Scott. I have Justin here for you at the shop
at
entry.
The wrong door.
Mm-hmm. But so I came through and I was in the main shop. And so in here you have like big space, you have multiple projects being working on, like big tables, big things happening in there. But you said, so in 2020, you moved in here, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then so before that, you were in your 14x14 shop. So is that size project, is that new to you? Like, is that something that you've always done woodwork, or is that all kind of stuff that's because you had this shop that you've been able to like do bigger fill stuff?
That's the one thing. It took me a long time to accept the fact that I'm a content creator.
Yeah.
I mean, like, right. I always make the joke about it. I'm a 52-year-old YouTube content creator. You know, like, it's just not something you think about, right?
Yeah.
You say you're a woodworker, you say you're a maker, you say this, I'm a content creator, you know? Right. And I say that because I don't like making the same thing over and over again.
Right. Yeah.
So I like the artistic journey associated with what can we build. Either I see it and I want to make it different, right. Not better, just different.
Right.
Like, I got started making, my parents bought me a Harbor Freight lathe.
Oh, yeah.
For $90, and I started making pens, and then I
thought they're more than that. I might.
Yeah. And then I saw a guy by the name of Stephen Ogle that was making beer mugs. And I'm like, oh, I can do that. Right. Yeah. So I started making, I'm like, that's a cool idea. How am I going to do that? So I'll figure it out because that's the way my brain works.
Yeah.
So I made a beer mug. I'm like, oh, well, I can make this beer mug better, my version better,
right,
by adding resin to it.
Yeah.
Right. So then now I've added resin to it. And that's kind of been, you know, which ends up with,
yeah,
you know, my coffee cup that's sitting here that's with coffee beans.
Where'd you add resin to the on the cup?
I'm sorry.
Where,
like, we have one for you guys to take when you leave, by the way.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, you're leaving with gifts.
What you're saying is like the beer.
Yeah, so
mug,
if you have like an
inside outside resin or inside or.
What, this one?
Is that, no, I'm saying what your first, like, what did you think you were going to do after you.
So that.
Where were
Kendall's
you
grabbing one for you, but like that's one of the first ones right there that I did with resin that.
Oh, okay. So is the bottom is completely resin?
Yeah.
So it's like an old beer stein when they had the clear bottoms.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why do we know why they did that? You know, you find like those pewter steins and they have the glass bottom.
That's our Gryffindor version.
Yeah.
Gryffindor?
Because I'm nerd like
nice.
That.
Heck yeah.
Hufflepuffs don't drink. So you just.
There's a Hufflepuff in there.
Is there?
Yeah. We did all four cider. Houses. Thank you very much.
All right.
I'm a Ravenclaw.
What would everybody drink?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, which? What would they?
Yeah,
all drink?
Hufflepuff. Like, okay, we'll say they're all at a party. They're all drinking alcohol.
Okay.
Gryffindor, they're like straight beer, right? They're like cool, or they're trying to be cool.
Yeah, I would say because they're more the like they're the tough, but like bold.
They're like the metrosexual.
the metrosexual group.
Like they're tough, but they're sweet all at the same time.
Yeah. So Ravenclaws, right? The Ravenclaws are the smart ones. So they would be drinking mixed drinks.
I think they'd have wine, yeah, right? Ravenclaw would be, they're like Hufflepuff.
Or cider, because I'm a Ravenclaw. So
Hufflepuff.
Yeah, what are they drinking?
Cosmos.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe, right. Yeah. Maybe.
Virgin Cosmos. Virgin daiquiris,
or they're drinking like vegan drinks or something, you know, like
gluten free beer.
Slytherin straight up whiskey.
Yeah, well, it's like, liquor.
Yeah, they're drinking straight, mixed drinks.
They're getting mean to like mean drunk. You're like, all right, man.
They're doing shots of Jaeger.
Yeah, right.
They're doing shots of Jägermeister and loving it. They're like, this is the best liquor ever.
They only offer you the worst liquor.
Yeah, right.
Jaeger, Rumpelmans. You're like, I guess, thanks.
Right. We love Rumpelmans.
Yeah.
What do you mix it with? Nothing.
I don't know. Those pure bloods, they may be drinking like the high end stuff.
Pure blood.
Like,
yeah,
no, we're only drinking. Yeah, they're like
mud blood.
We're drinking a 14,000 year old rum.
Right. You know, like, yeah, they got really well aged.
Yeah.
Or they just age it instantly.
14,000 year old mead.
Yeah, right.
This came from the tomb of Tutankhamun. You know.
Oh, this is sweet.
So anyway, so it Hello? Just kind of got progressively more, okay, now what am I going to make next? Yeah. Mm. And the stuff just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Nice. Yeah.
And
that was like you were here, right, in this
And
space.
Then I was here, then I had no idea. What I thought I was building this 15-foot table.
Right.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
And that's fine, right? But now I'm here, now what am I going to do? So I basically screwed off for 2 years. Still trying to find myself.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like really trying to figure out what is next.
Did you brush this or did you dip it?
So yeah, no, it's brushed. Sorry, I'm looking. We have a whole new way of doing them now. Like we're actually using, finally figured out. It took 2.5 years. I put them on cup turners. Like this is an old one. There's still drips on the outside, so you can tell it's handmade.
Right, right.
The new ones now we'll put them on like a turner, and it's like, again, it's like glass. You know.
Yeah. Can I see?
What do you mean? What do you mean a turner? Like a.
Like the mug like turners that move like
it's moving slowly, so you can
3 revolutions gotcha. A minute.
Okay, okay,
you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we can do 8 at a time.
Oh, okay, right. And so they're just slowly moving. That way you don't get the drips and stuff.
You drink coffee out of this?
Huh?
How is it? I mean, is it like doesn't get too hot or? It's
no,
I guess the resin holds up.
The resin. So the resin has been a big debate, right? And the resin is FDA approved for incidental food contact.
Right, okay.
But it's also good to 450 degrees. So
right.
I let it cure for 30 days. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that it's...
Right.
The resin manufacturers will say that's not probably the use for it, right. But...
So you might not sell it, but you make a bunch for yourself.
Yeah, give them to friends.
Yeah,
yeah.
Give them to people, visitors who get poisoned.
No, I drink like 2-3 cups of coffee out of that a day. Like it's not.
That is really cool.
Yeah, no. Sweet. I mean, I've sold a couple of them over the years, and I've told people flat out, "Hey, this is resin."
Right.
I mean, I tell them exactly. I the same thing I just said. Like, hey, look, it's.
Yeah.
All coatings are at the end of the day. All coatings are. Okay.
We all drink out of weird plastic bottles, and exactly. Nothing's really great for you, so might as well look good.
Yeah. I mean cool. It's not...
I think it's great.
Yeah, no, it's a fun thing to... It's a fun thing to sell and give away to friends.
Cool. I don't know what company this is. I guess it's not resin. They take old used baseball bats, and they use the top of the bat, and then hollow it out.
Oh, nice.
And then put your favorite team on the...
So on the opposite side.
Put the O's right. On your...
Yeah, I mean, I cool. I did enough research on it and worked with the manufacturer, and I was like, so what do you really think? And, you know, they're going to tell you what they think, which is, hey, it's not what it's designed for.
Right. Yeah, right.
Right. They're like, we haven't got those things approved. We're not telling people to eat off of it, because I'm sure there's something you have to go through to say you can eat off of this.
Right. Well, I mean, it is FDA approved for incidental food contact. So.
Right.
So the argument is, you know, well, define incidental. Because my coffee does not last 5 minutes in it.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I just sat it under the pot and it fell in.
Well, yeah, incidental food contact means that if food touches it, it's not going to poison the food.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, maybe you don't do it all the time.
Right.
Maybe.
I don't know. We can do a test if we want. That'd be a fun test.
See how you feel in a month. Every 3 coffees a day.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you do? Like, how do you do that test? Do you, like, put something in it and then test it for, like, an acid?
Yeah. You test for a pH change.
Yeah, right. I guess so, right.
I mean,
so is that what we're thinking is being maybe leached is the acidic level of resin?
I have no idea. I don't want to get in trouble with my resin sponsor.
You know? Right, exactly.
It's perfectly
healthy. This episode is sponsored by.
Yeah, no.
Food space resin.
Don't drink lava, you'll be fine.
Kendall's over there going, she's frowning. She's like, you need to change this line of questioning right now.
That's our new segment.
Help. Yeah. While we're all drinking beer, right? Or beer and cider.
Drinking poison.
Yeah, exactly.
So the you want to talk about the studio we're in?
Sure. Yeah, so we reached out to Scott about having him on the podcast, but also you actually reached out to me maybe 6 months ago or something, because we were on like kind of a group a Maryland group of makers group chat that was started by, I think. It was like Matt Serio sent out like a giant group chat to tons of people to get us all to pick our favorite picture that Mark Adams had ever taken of us and then send him a picture of that and then also to write a note. And within
Wait, does Mark know about this?
Yeah, this happened at
MakerCamp.
Did he already get it?
Yeah.
Why,
Some of us who went to MakerCamp had a
second child. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I can't make next year. It's Yom Kippur. Don't feel bad.
Oh, no. Is it?
Yeah, it is on Yom Kippur.
Okay. So within that group chat, there was like, somehow there was like a conversation of like, who's Maryland people? Like, it just kind of popped up like, oh, we're Maryland.
Yeah.
And then, so then like the Maryland group chat started. So then we chat a little bit. And then you reached out to me about like,
because
you're like, I'm right here. We should do something together. Like,
I remember that because Maryland people kind of took over. And then all of a sudden you saw a bunch of people leaving.
Yeah. I mean, the idea was to have a meetup and then everything kind of went kittywumpus here with the county and stuff. So I had to kind of push it off, but I still want to have a Maryland meetup.
You're saying that the county doesn't want that official type of meetup here in your space?
No, it's not that. It's just we're still working out the septic plan.
Right, all the details.
A lot of big fellas eating and drinking.
Right. So we're working out the septic plan. Yeah. We have toilets. Don't worry about it. We're good.
Yeah, right.
But we're working out the septic
plan. Right. So you reached out and were like, you should come by. Like you were doing, there were projects that were happening. So you're like, come by, check it out. Like, we'll, you know, shoot something while we're here together.
Yeah,
we'll and then Devin, he had talked about, he's like, hey, you should reach out to Scott. Cause he had seen that you had just started doing stuff with like, you know, starting to advertise this as an actual space that people can now, you know, possibly use, makers and content creators are actually going to be using the space, as well as like, you know, you've already kind of rented out some spaces here, but like this is kind of, I think, what your goal was originally, was like
the long term goal would, if I had my wish, my wish would be to continue to build it out just the way it is with other content creators or creatives that are looking to get into content creation, and almost like create a co-op setup where, you know, creativity does beget creativity, right?
100%.
I mean, we just had a 5-minute conversation of the benefits of resin on my mug, right? But I mean, like, you know, but the reality is, and a lot of it has to do with the way my brain works, I do best for my friend Michael Long of MK Design says, it's amazing how many times you'll call me to solve a problem that you already solved, but you actually have to talk it out to me before you can actually convince yourself you did.
Right. Yep.
So, you know, creativity begets creativity. Yeah. So having a bunch of creatives around just ups everybody's game.
Absolutely.
Kendall's on staff full time as a videographer. So, okay, so now all of a sudden she's too busy, so we bring in another videographer. Mm-hmm. She's fantastic. But having another person for her to talk to, right?
Then that
ups her game, right? Creativity begets creativity. So ultimately, that to me would be super cool, especially if you get some people in the same niche and some people in different niches. Like, to your point, you do metalwork and hand tool work. I've got a crap ton of power tools. There's a lot of synergies there depending on what the project is.
In fact,
the table that you looked at when you walked through the shop that I'm building for my sister's house, like, well, do you have a metal worker that can make those legs? I was like, actually, no.
Right, yeah.
You know, but if somebody was here, then, you know, it becomes a really kind of a neat little. And we discussed this at Maker Camp, Jimmy and I, one time. He's like, nobody's figured that one out yet.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but it's a really cool idea.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people who've attempted it, or a lot of companies, a lot of like, you know, partnerships who've attempted similar things, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. And, you know. Yeah, there's not a big one that everyone's like, oh, that's the one that made it, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, the idea is if you have a whole bunch of people in here, you know, that are doing their thing, use Devin as an example because he does your video and your editing, right? So, you know, the videographers have their own office space.
Right.
And now you have an in-house mastermind of videographers that are all, and let's be honest, videography and editing for what we do as makers, I've taken a lot of classes, right?
Right.
And I've worked with, at this point, 3 or 4 different media companies. I'm really happy with the one we're currently working with. Mm-hmm. But even he will admit that the maker niche is very different than anything else out there.
Right.
Right. Because, you know, when you get into the million plus club in the maker niche, there's very few and far, you know, like,
oh, yeah.
You got to work really, really hard.
Yeah.
Maybe not me put on spandex, but like if you wanted to start a fitness channel and you have a million subscribers on a fitness channel, you're small.
Yeah. Right.
You know, if you're a, and I'm not picking fun. I mean, we have this conversation all the time. If you're an evangelical cat, you know, if you're not over a million, if you hit a million, well, that's easy. Right. You know, if you're finance, you can hit like all that stuff. Mm-hmm. When you get into the 350, 400,000 plus club, you're in the 97th percentile.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, even us at 4,600, 4,700-ish, according to Social Blue Book, right, which is a rabbit hole, but according to the numbers, I'm at like the 89th percentile. Mm. And in the grand world of content creation, that's not a lot of followers.
Right. No. Yeah.
So getting a bunch of long-winded, as I normally do answering questions, getting a bunch of makers and creatives together with their videographers just ups everybody's game, and there's safety in numbers, there's power in numbers, there's creativity in numbers, and I think that's kind of a neat, at the end of the day, it's still fun too, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It adds fun. Nobody understands us like us.
And that was the conversation that Devin and I had when we started our channel. Was like, he's like, you're always just making stuff in the shop, so why don't I come over and I'll shoot what you're doing, and we'll hang out, and he's like, it'll look better than 90% of the other Mako channels out there, because most people are just setting up a camera and just shooting it, and they don't have the background. They're makers, so they don't have the background that Devin has in film making and in like production. And so he's like, we'll do that. And if we make money, great. And if not, we're just having fun hanging out in the shop. And we're shooting some videos, and he gets to work on his skills as a videographer and a director, and you know, all that, the stuff that he was still working on, that he wanted to work on, to continue to work on. And I was still going to be making stuff. So it was like, oh, we're still going to have fun. If nothing else, we're going to have fun. If it doesn't go anywhere, then it doesn't go anywhere. And if it does, then cool.
It does. And I think there's the positive of just staying around and keeping your channel going.
Yeah, right.
Is huge. We've been, what, like 5 years now?
Yeah, 2017.
We've had videos with big views and videos with small views. It's just, we're just going to hang around and keep making them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like saying it because she's sitting here. I couldn't do this without Kendall.
Yeah,
right. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I was struggling, and my, you know, and especially on top of it being a landlord now and all that other stuff. No,
and I'm
not even going to look at her right now, Greg. I'm going to look at you guys because it's kind of fun, because I can probably see her start nodding her head. She tells me all the time, I cringe when I watch your old stuff. She's like, I can't watch it. It makes me sad.
That's great. Look,
but I couldn't do it without her. There's no way. I mean, we make the joke, there's not enough lights to make this face look good. But somehow she has an ability to capture what's going on here.
Yeah.
And I know myself, the way I work with my focus as I've gotten older, I've really struggled with focus. If I can just work and she films, we get really cool stuff.
Yeah, right.
If I have to film for myself, I'm beyond manic.
Yeah.
Like the project never goes well.
Right.
I don't.
Cause you're split. You're doing these two creative things. You're trying to set up a shot and then also make, like, it takes 100% of us as makers to make. Like, you have to be in that moment to not fuck up what you're making.
Right.
You have to do it, and you have to do it well, and you're trying to do it well every time.
Especially because it's on camera.
Yeah, exactly. And then, then you're on camera. Then if you know if you're setting up the shot, and you're like, okay, I also need to compose this shot to look good.
Yeah.
And then think about, okay, then I have to think, by the end of it, I need to have all these shots that are going to come together, so it's not just one shot every time or one angle every time. And so I think having that split is really tough. And that was the one thing that we never had to deal with, because right off the bat, it was Devin come and hang out in the shop. And the one thing that we really enjoyed, and we talk about this all the time, is Adam Savage and Tested and like one day builds. It was like him working and just going quick, and the shots were always moving around. And it was like, you're just hanging out with him in the shop. And I love that about having Devin with me, because we were hanging out in the shop and I could talk to him and the camera, like it's just him. And so I think the feeling that you get is that like you're in the shop with the person. And that's what I love about coming to shops like this, right? Because now I'm in the shop with you. And watching your videos, it has that feel. It has like you talk to Kendall a lot, which is cool. You get that dialogue, mm-hmm. like, oh, I can't believe this just happened. Or like, oh, this is so cool. I'm getting so excited now. We're right to the end.
Did you guys see the debate over Spider-Man yet? Did that make it out on you?
No. Yeah.
But I mean, let's not take away from the people that are getting it done by themselves. I started out like that, and it was hard, and it was difficult, and there's a.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Lot of people that are getting it done. Yeah. I just know for myself that wants to make cool shit,
right.
Wants to our niche, which is really, really difficult in the maker community, right?
Yeah.
Is how to entertainment.
Right.
Journey based how to entertainment. Not just hey, we're building a cabinet today.
Yeah.
You're gonna cut this and unfortunately that's where we talk about people don't understand the maker niche. Mm-hmm. A lot of our stuff in our niche is searchable. People want to learn how to make stuff. So, so the person that I, other than James, who I just thought was like the most intelligent person that could, and he still is to this day, could explain things that I'm like,
who?
James King of King's Fine Woodworking. Yep. And the way he explains things is just so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a huge fan and still am to this day, and I've never met him, of Nick Zimetti. Mm-hmm. Of NZ, he was NZ Wood Turning back in the day. And that's who I kind of was inspired by, because I'm like, here's a guy that literally his tagline is, we're going to make something funky. And so he cast Orbeez one time.
Yeah, yeah.
And turned him into a bowl. And then he put a praying mantis in resin in the pressure pot that wasn't dry, and it exploded in the resin. And I was like, okay, that's the type of content I want to make.
Right.
And that's kind of the direction we've gone. So and I started that on my own.
Right.
And then I went into, okay, well, I'm not getting any traction, so I'm just going to do the how-to stuff. And I think that's why Kendall cringes, because you can hear it in my voice, because it's a lot of voiceover.
Yeah.
And then she comes on board, and now we're back to the entertainment how-to stuff. Mm-hmm. And so the authenticity that we're showing, we were talking about this before Devin walked in, about, oh, let's start that over.
Right,
we don't
do
that here.
Yeah.
We literally just work.
Right.
I mean, what Kendall does do that is great, she'll keep me on task and say, you've talked too much. I just need you to, before you get started, Scott, this is all I need you to say. And I still will go 45 seconds over that. Look at her. She's nodding. You know, and that'll make it on a Sunday reel.
Right.
Where she makes fun of me. The Sunday reels on Instagram that are starting to come out, which are like dumb shit we're talking about.
Right. Yeah.
While we're working,
you need another set of eyes, a set of ears to like. Well, you've said it, or you've started each. Like, you keep explaining something, you keep starting it with these few words.
Yeah.
Right. Look at her. She's pointing. Yeah. The word for me, it's so.
Yeah,
right. A lot of people really, all these, it's just those gap words that everyone uses in conversation and you don't notice, but when it's condensed, your whole day was condensed into 2 minutes of video, then it's everything you start, it starts with whatever your crutch is, and it's really hard to watch on a video. So you just need someone to be like, yeah, again, that was great, just watch this and this, like,
yeah,
that's all.
We have I've tasked Kendall with making a make fun of me reel of how many times I say pivotal point. Because every project has multiple pivot points.
Right, yeah.
And she was telling me, you're saying some too many times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I would just, my brain would be like, okay, now we're at a pivotal point. And it was me basically saying to myself, okay, we're switching gears.
Right. Yeah.
But we literally are going to come out with
just a pivotal point video.
Pivotal point. As a drinking game, because you're right. There's so many of them.
We just posted. I posted a short. It was either a short or I did both, but I had a comment on it, and there was a guy that said that he and whoever he watches our videos with, or you know, they have a drinking game where if I say chamfer. Like, I'm going to chamfer the edge. They drink when we say chamfer because it always comes up. I was like, I've never heard that before. But
yeah.
And even with the podcast, when we first started, and if I actually look back in there, at the top of every one, I'd write the words, you know, really big. Because I always said, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let me go back.
There's a lot words we'd write at the top of it. And we'd,
I don't think I see any other than
the fact that you have a script to me is fascinating.
Well, it's
I wrote one script and it didn't go well.
Well, this is the like, well, let's see, I'm going back to 80. There it is. Out. You know. But this is my like, I usually will write down a few things. Like, I usually start us off with like what I know we want to do in order, and then things I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I always do this. I always have the beginning at the top, and then I leave room for recommendations at the bottom, and then I fill in between there.
And then so, you sit down with me, and I go all over the place.
Well, the great thing about that is that we were able to like walk through this building before we started. So we built up a bunch of stuff, a bunch of content to talk about before we started. And it was also things like Devin and I will usually talk for a few minutes before we start a podcast and just think about, we want to make sure we hit these things because we don't want a ton of like lulls in the conversation. And I've talked to some people who, and this is like kind of patting myself on the back, but they're like, I've been on other podcasts where there's the podcast hosts don't like lead the conversation. They don't lead it in a way that like there's not a ton of weird pauses. And that's just something usually on these papers, I'll have a few words here and there that like, if I find myself coming to the end of a conversation,
getting me to shut up is the problem. Not getting me to talk.
Name those podcasts. Yeah, we want names.
You'll never know.
Name names.
but yeah, so that's one of those things where it's like, I have that way I can also look back, and when I'm writing things down or if something, we say something and I want to write it down, so I put it in the show notes, I'll do it there. But
I'll do something unique right now. I'll shut up for a second. Right. That's totally unique. She's shaking her head again. It's great.
She's like,
you know, what do you think of the idea? I mean, what do you guys think? The creative co-op, you know, including videography and podcasting and lives.
So you're going to put all the editors down in a dark in the basement.
That's what the basement's for.
You don't need room. You just need work, content.
We may give you a PlayStation because we're nice like that.
Yeah, Xbox.
I definitely think a creative co-op, like you said, inspiration breeds inspiration. You know, creativity breeds creativity. When I, as an example of that, during COVID, during virtual learning, as a teacher, I taught a whole year completely virtual. So Zoom meetings every day with my students. And the biggest thing, most days, yeah. Okay, I sat across the dining room table from my daughter. So I think she appreciated it.
Okay. Gotcha.
But one of the things that I think was the worst part of that was that we weren't in a creative space together. So as I'm an architecture teacher, and I do like 3D design and design thinking is what we really do. So, you know, not being able to be in a room where sitting next to you is someone working, and sitting next to them is someone, and across the room there's someone working, and everyone's getting up and getting down and grabbing tools and they're drawing. That creative space, people thrive in that space. You can see that what the person doing, what they're doing next to you. And so not having that was a huge crutch, a huge downfall for any type of design teaching during that time. Cause I was like, you know, I would try to lead and I would show what I was doing and I would encourage people to do stuff and I'd give them feedback on work cause they'd take pictures of it. But that was the biggest, that was like the worst part, was that we weren't together in a creative studio.
And now, I like the process too. And I said I'd shut up, but
that's okay.
No, what I'm saying is I like the process of the ability also of bringing people that are just getting started.
Right.
Because we are, I mean, I put myself not in your guys' league, but we all are accomplished at this point. Mm. We've kind of broken the mold. We're breaking out. We're doing well by standards, right?
Right.
According to Social Blue Book, but we're doing well. And then there's people that are trying to get started, right? So then they come in and then, it may just be, I need to rent 2 hours of Devin's time to sit here and help. Can you talk me through my footage? Like, can you help me with this?
Right.
You know what I mean? And then there is something about giving back to the community and helping them get started that's pretty special.
I think the difficult part is finding, like, who you want here. What if there's someone you don't like?
That is a problem.
Then you like either like it's a part of you're trying to bring people in, but then maybe there's someone who isn't the same vibe as
that vibe, right?
Mm-hmm. And maybe starts being nasty or weird. And then also it's like, how much do you let people do stuff for free? How much do you charge to keep the lights on and keep everything? Because nothing's free, obviously.
Right.
So it's like that, I would think, is the most difficult balance.
Oh yeah, I don't know in my vision that since I own the building that it's free. I think it's a question of what that charge structure looks like.
Right. Yeah.
And certainly people would have to lease their studio.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean?
But you're thinking of people having chunks of the place taken up by.
Yeah. Like I think having people that had studio space here that they were leasing studio space. Now they want to do social media. So then you have videographers that are working out of here. So if they're already working out of here, then you look at those videographers and like, look, I know that the going rate's 100, 150 bucks an hour, but you're in the building, but you can get 4 or 5 people.
Right.
And Kendall and I haven't really talked about this because she'd have to run it because I have no idea what I'm talking about.
Right.
But the idea behind it really revolves around you have 4 or 5 new people that are starting while they're leasing space here.
Yeah.
But can they rent a videographer as a mastermind group, right?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and what's that costing structure look like? And I haven't figured it all out, which is probably why Jimmy said nobody's figured it out yet.
Right.
Right, because it's not, and yes, there is a personality thing that you have to get into also. I mean, let's be honest. We're having a good time. You guys can come back anytime. Sure, we've had people pop in like, oh my God, please lock the door.
Yeah, right, exactly, like, yeah.
You know.
And that's also, that's one of the things I was thinking, trying to think about, like, whether I think it's a good idea or not. I do think it's a great idea. I think the potential is super high. I think that, like Devin's question about, you know, that's obviously something you have to consider, and that's something that hopefully wouldn't be the, you know, hopefully that would be the say 5%, right? The
95%. Yeah. There's just some people that you're not going to get along with, and we honestly haven't hit that yet. There's been, you know, I mean, really, when I think of who you're not getting along with is people that are coming that are unsafe.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the things
that's a different question.
Right? That us as, or at least me as a maker, as a, you know, someone who loves my shop time, you know, like as much as Devin and I shoot together, you know, that's only 10% or 20% of what I do in my shop. The other 80% is just me down there in the moment by myself working in like in the zone. And then when people come down that I'm not expecting, then it breaks the flow sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. So even like my good friend, like my buddy Sean, who you met Sean at Maker Camp, he lives 3 minutes down the road. If I'm not expecting him to show up and he shows up in my shop and I'm in the moment of doing something, then depending on what I'm doing, like it breaks the flow of that. And I'm like itching to get back.
You know? Oh, we're aware of that here. Yeah, and I would never, and I'm saying this because we're recording it, I would never say it publicly that we don't appreciate our fans that stop by, because I do.
Yeah.
But, oh my God, there's some days that 5 people walk through the door and you're like, oh, I was just driving by. I thought I'd say, you know, and you're like,
Yeah, that's another just that's, yeah, yeah, that's like stopping I'm working, that. You're in that groove, you know, he breaks the groove.
Yeah,
and that's the thing, like, you know, but yeah.
Beware the groove. Nice.
That's my like favorite of all time.
Are you falling asleep back there behind the camera? She is. It's great.
I think but when you're in a studio setting, you're in the mindset that there are people around. Mm. Right. So it's not like you're in your shop by yourself. I mean, here at this point, you know, but once you have a few more people around, then it's like, okay, well, there are people around. So I'm expecting that they might come down and work. Like if say that's a big open, you know, wood shop that people can come use the tools that you have. Like that's part of the great thing about this is that you have a communal space that you might like open up. You know, people might work in their you know, in their leased area for their smaller stuff, and then they come down and cut the big stuff here and move back and forth. And I think being in that space is definitely a breeding ground for your creativity.
Right.
It's a studio. And that's, like, I always love that about art school. We had studios. There were always people in there. It felt alive. Like, any hour of the day, there were always, like, five or six people in their studio. You know, whether or not you're hanging out or they're listening to music and you're doing your own thing, or just the fact that there was, like, a liveliness in that space made it like mm-hmm. a fun space.
Yeah, and I guess if you sign up for something like that, you kind of know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You probably a little bit kind of want that type of thing.
Yeah, people who don't want anybody aren't going to come and be here.
I always joke about Workbench Con and Maker Camp. It is literally introverts anonymous gathering.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Because as creatives, we are kind of introverted.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife and I went to a 10th grade parent social the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we went to that. And one of the parents was like, oh, I watch your stuff every day. And he made some comment about it. And he made the Good Morning Makers thing, oh, right? Nice. Which I guess we should put on a t-shirt.
Kendall's like, Makers, that's great.
But I forgot exactly, forgive me, how the conversation went, but it really kind of delved into a, I don't want to call it a dark space, but he's like, you're not as animated as you normally are. And I'm like, well, my public persona, my private persona, I'm not comfortable in gathering, right? like you know, and because of what we do, we're giving, and then the camera turns off, and you're like, or you're being a creative all day. The camera doesn't even need to be on.
Right.
You're problem solving, building stuff, you're being creative, and by 3:30, 4 o'clock, I'm like...
exhausted, yeah, right.
I'm exhausted, right?
It takes
right?
a lot of brain space.
It takes a lot of brain space. So now it's 7:30 at night, and it's like... hey.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not that I'm not happy being here, but I'm not used to being around this.
Yeah, on camera, you should turn it on a certain amount.
Yeah.
It was talking to Tess and Ed Savage. She's like, whatever you think you're giving, give like 15% more. That's a part of being talent, to draw the eye, to be a little bit different. So if you're just talking, and that's fine. Dustin's a very calm person on the thing, but you can bring it up a little bit just because that's the job of what you're doing.
Right. I mean, people see my authentic personality on camera. I'm not really playing it up for the camera, but by the time we're done, 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening rolls around, if I have to go out for the night, I'm like, tired. I'm tired. Yeah. That was an interesting. That was the first, the reason I bring it up, because we're talking so much about content creation. It was the first time somebody actually called me out on it.
He called me
out on it at this parent social.
Yeah.
He's like, you're not as chipper as you normally are. I'm like, number one, I've already had at least one coffee before I do my Good Morning Makers. There's at least one in the bag, you know, and I'm really excited about getting my second cup of coffee. So,
yeah, and you're fresh, you know, you're excited, you're in the shop, you know, like, all right, this is what's happening today, you know, like, this is what we're doing.
Today, this is going to be the day, we're going to do this, and we get like 25% of it done.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So now now you're seeing the hangover in the evening about, I plan on doing 12 things and I got two of them done, you know, that's right, you're getting the hangover.
I heard that Robin Williams used to, like, once he got in his trailer, he would be sitting there almost depressed, holding his head. I mean, he had real mental issues. Right. But it's one of those things, he's putting it on for everybody, and then sometimes...
You were seeing his authentic self, but there's a lot with that give.
Yeah. That, and so as a teacher, you know, I get exhausted because I'm on the whole time. You know, teaching, you have to, like, I'm on, I'm always, people are looking at me, people are asking questions. And then, you know, then we go to a place like Maker Camp and you're either like demoing or you're just like, you're on the whole time because you're talking to people. Now that's like a therapeutic on. Like everyone mm-hmm. there is, we're all the same type of people. You're excited to see the people.
Well, you're amongst your friends there. So you're like, right. Really, yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the conversations, but man, like just coming back after that weekend, it's like,
yeah,
oh man, that's so, it's so exhausting because it's so, so much is being poured out of you because it's so much fun and you want to experience every moment of it. But like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Like
I was spent for what, at least 4 days after Never Camp.
Yeah.
She was trying to film me and I was just like, okay, I'm going to cut this now.
Maker camp, when we would go, we'd go back to the camping area. That was nice because it would just be Dustin and I or whoever. And just sit down and have some ramen.
Yeah, just be quiet. Just relax for a minute. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Check your phone, play on your phone for a minute. Just like
sit. You have service at Maker Camp?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. AT&T?
No, that was like the only spotty. Time I pulled out my phone. Was But yeah, that's a great thing about Maker Camp. You don't have to.
Yeah, right, exactly.
No, I'm just saying there's no service.
It's a black hole.
Yeah. It's a black hole of service.
I had a little bit.
Yeah, I did okay. But Sean was saying he had none.
I had none this year.
I had AT&T, which is okay. I had a little bit of
service. Yeah, I had some. But you don't need it there.
The biggest problem for me at Maker Camp this year was literally I finally had a room that had a TV in it. And it was raining. It was cold. And I woke up to the news at Israel, and I had family in Israel. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to break away from the TV. So that was like the worst part of Maker Camp for me. I was just kind of sitting there going, now – the benefit, not that there's ever any benefit to what's going on, that came out wrong. The fact that it was pouring and raining made it easier for me not...
Exactly, to not feel guilty about
going out. Because I was freezing anyway. Yeah. Like, I was freezing anyway, and I did not pack for... I packed for rain. I did not pack for 4 inches of rain.
Yeah.
And that was wild. Yeah, oh my gosh. So that was kind of a downer for me at Maker Camp. But I still loved it. It was great.
Yeah. Up on the tennis courts where we were, that tent that I was in was kind of like only one of the only dry ground spaces.
Until that guy kept pumping the tent and then splashing everybody.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Robert Bliss. Yeah. He kept walking around. There was a couple of people that kept walking around. Dude. I mean, he had to because, it was all catching the water, and otherwise the whole tent's going to collapse.
Who was it? Jenny Bauer told me they had 4 inches of rain in the hand tool tent.
Holy cow.
The river was running through their tent.
Well, I heard through the grapevine that was the worst the Blackthorn has ever seen. Mm-hmm. They've never seen the Pavilion flood. And they had to put up all the gravel and the hay bales and stuff to put up a berm so you weren't flooding across it. It's crazy.
It was absolutely nuts.
Yeah. It's like another one. Like the year before that was the super cold year. Yes. This was the rainy year.
Year before it was cold.
Devin had a baby.
It was baby year.
It's a baby year.
But yeah, so it's a wild thing, but I think it's just like that idea of a communal space where everyone is knowingly in an area that they're going to be creative in. That I think is a great idea. Mm-hmm. And then, they can choose when they come and choose when they don't, it's like, that's the great thing about having a studio that you have to go to is because then you're forcing yourself to do it. Once you're there, you're in the space. Like when I was in grad school, I would actually go to the studio late because I had my daughter when I was in grad school. So she would go to bed and then my wife would go to bed and it would be like 9:30 and I would go to the studio at 9:30 or 10 and stay till 1 o'clock or so. But it was that like going there was the motivation to work and be creative because then you're in a creative space.
Right.
So it's like going,
going to your gym, going to like.
Yeah, right.
Going to your creative gym. Like, all right, we're in there.
Yeah, right. I think having a space like this where it's the destination that you go to be creative in is a great.
And that's, the podcast too is kind of like the first start of that. I mean, we've got the workshop, right? But it's kind of exciting for me to have people come in and start doing their podcast. There, a lot of these people that are going to be doing podcasts is, my camera just died, Kendall.
Oh, that was one of my face. Hello.
Cool.
We'll get some.
We can wrap it up.
Do you want?
Yeah, cool.
All right. Do you want to wrap it?
Well, we're wrapping. Yeah. I just think, but like finishing up that idea is like having this space, having a space that now is available for people to use. Like you said, people are going to want to come out, and go check it out, and then the more people are here, then like you said, being in this space gives you the inspiration to do something. Yep. I think that is what is the best idea about a space like this. whether it'll all work out, and it works out well for you fiscally, and you know, like,
yeah,
that's a different issue. Like, I think it's going to work out for creativity's sake, because anytime you put creatives together, it's going
to. Well, one of the benefits is this is chapter two for me, so it has to work out fiscally, but it does not. I'm not. This is for me. I'm blessed to be in a position where this is an annuity for my kids. This is my first soiree, for lack of better terms, in estate planning.
Right.
So yeah. The bar is set reasonably. My finance guy is going to hate this comment. The bar is set reasonably low.
Right.
I have to turn a profit, but I'm not worried about. Am I going to put food on my table tomorrow?
Right.
Like this is an annuity in estate planning for me. Right. So. I'm pretty pumped at the idea of, like you said,
this is great. Yeah.
From that perspective, yeah. It's kind of,
because
anything above and beyond that.
Yeah.
I used to make the joke, as long as I take my family to Disney every year on vacation, not budget for it. But in light of them raising prices by 300%, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to do that. But that's you know.
And I think having someone who's running a place like this, that's in your position, then actually like takes the stress off of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That you're like, let's do these things. Let's try new things. Let's try different things, because you're in a position where you can try them and hopefully they work. And if not, as long as some of the things are still working,
yeah, we gotta get
you can feel comfortable.
Right, I'm not cash neutral yet, but we gotta get cash neutral.
Right,
and then some.
Yeah,
right. But it doesn't need to be cash neutral plus 50%.
Right,
or whatever. Like it needs to be. I mean, that'd be great. But it, you know, I mean, we all strive for that. Everybody likes money, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But. The idea of being able to build it in such a way and be a little patient is a blessing and a curse.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear that.
Which is why I screwed off for like 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
But was there a, this is the first podcast here?
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah.
First you guys one busted on the cherry.
Wrong. good ass groove here.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
We're going to come back and do a live. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
You want to wrap it, Dust?
Well, let's do. I do want to talk. So, when we have guests on, we always do the disaster stories. And I don't. I want you to tell us a disaster story, because it's fun. It's something that makers love to hear. They love to know that other makers make mistakes and things fall apart, and then you have to start over. So let's do that. You can give us the kind of abbreviated version.
Because our cameras are dying.
Yeah, this is audio only. So
it's fine. No, it's all good. I think Kendall got a lot of good material, right? I mean, we're going to get a crap ton of shorts out of it. I think one of the beauties of our channel, this sounds like I'm winding up for another long-winded one. I'll keep it short. But, I mean, the reality is we are pretty authentic. There's literally, I cannot come up with one project on our YouTube channel that we made a prototype on. Mm-hmm. I don't do that.
Right.
Tim's like, really?
No, yeah.
No, I don't. And because that's been my journey, because it's entertainment, how-to journey.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, every project has that disaster moment. Mm-hmm. Although we weren't filming today and I rode in a $1,500 slab of maple, a walnut, but that's a whole different conversation. But the truth is, every project has that. Right. I think if you're asking us about recent memory, absolutely. And I was going through some shit at the time also, so that wasn't helping matters any. Mm-hmm. Had to have been the Soldier's Journey Home project we did. Mm-hmm. One of my long-term goals for the shop is to be charity-based. Right. Mm-hmm. I want to do, I know you heard it, but he hasn't heard it yet. You know, I want to be able to do 4 to 6 charity builds a year. Awesome. I want the videography and the commissions to pay for videography and materials, and then allow me to do 4 or 5 functional art-based charity projects, right?
That's great.
So we built a table for a Soldier's Journey Home, which builds a home for a disabled vet in 12 days. Mm. And we're like, we're going to build you a table. And we made it out of solid chestnut. So the table's probably worth, what, like 10, 12 grand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every bit of it. Yeah. And it was by far, right, Kendall, the most well-planned from scripting. I mean, we didn't script it, but I mean, like, we actually had a mental cut sheet.
Right.
We had laid out the steps. Yeah, right. We knew exactly, like, we had a set of plans.
Mm-hmm.
that my friend Mel Morris of, you know, that he had put together. And I feel really bad right now. He's going to hate me. Late Country Woodworking. I had to think about it for him. And, you know, so we had the plans. We had all of this stuff. Everything was good.
Right. Everything was planned out. Like, everything was ready.
We brought in guests. We brought in some other makers that were vets, like Eddie Schwartz, who's a chief in the Baltimore, one of the battalion chiefs in the Baltimore County Fire Department. He's an active vet. And so we brought people in to be part of the project. We brought Brian Graham in from Bristol Restorations, right? And he's the local festival rep also. Mm-hmm. So we're like, Brian, come make this project with us. He's like, absolutely. So he brings his beard and mustache game. Yeah. You know Brian? He's amazing. This is awesome, right? Yeah. So he comes in. We build this absolutely beautiful chestnut top table. Mm-hmm. And I go to do the final square cuts. Cut it. Now, all week, we're on day 4, I guess, at this point. Was it day 2 where the well pump went up and we had to dig up the front lawn?
Oh, that's in the video.
In the video.
You're like, they're inside building and I'm outside watching happen.
That's right. Yeah. So all week we said 42 inches by 7 feet. Mm-hmm. All week.
42 inches by 7 feet, right, okay.
42 inches by 7 feet. Had it on a piece of paper. Had the plan sitting there. I don't remember how it happened, but we came in and there was multiple people in here watching me do it. And I lined up, and I think, and you were here filming it, right? And I'm like, all right, we're gonna cut it at 7 feet. And I pulled the tape measure out to 70 inches and I marked it.
7-0, 7 feet, right?
Kendall filmed it. And it's not Kendall's fault. Right. And even I swear something, because we used a Festool track saw, so I had to do it on both sides of the table,
right,
and triple checked it, because I knew sitting there, this is chestnut, it's fucking expensive, it's not replaceable easily. And so I go ahead and I cut the table. I still don't know that I've messed up. So we then go and we had cut a bunch of jigs on our Phantom CNC for the stretcher. And I cut the stretcher and I put the stretcher on top of the table. And I'm like, the stretcher is bigger than the tabletop. How is that? And this is all on the video, right? And the stretcher is
77 inches.
The stretcher is 77 inches, right? And I'm like, either the stretcher is too, and I still hadn't figured out what I did, but now the table's sitting on an 8-foot long table and it's supposed to be a 7-foot table. And I'm sitting here, look, his Devin's jaw is hitting the floor, right? This is like a train wreck that literally you're driving past the train wreck. This thing is going in slow motion. Kendall hadn't figured it out yet. None of us had figured it out. And we took the stretcher off and I put a tape measure. I'm like, this is a perfect cut. This stretcher is perfect.
Yeah, like, believe it or not, this one's actually really
this
perfect.
This is perfect.
Exactly.
What the fuck is going on? And I measured the tabletop and I'm like, oh shit.
70 inches.
Oh shit.
It's not 7 feet.
I don't think I said oh shit. I cried. Oh. I put my head down on the table. Oh, that's right. She's like, I threw something. What did I throw? I threw the stretcher when I broke the stretcher.
Oh no.
But no, that was the wrong stretcher I broke. That was the one that fell off the table and cracked, and it was the last piece we had, and I threw that too. Yeah.
Another disaster.
That was this project was literally a shit show from the get-go.
And it's a charity piece.
And it's a charity piece. So yeah, so we're amped up because it's a charity piece. And it's going to a guy who lost his leg for our country. So we're really, we want to do a good job. Mm-hmm. Not only do we want to do a good job for the vet that we're giving this to, but our model is we're going to make this video, and this video's in perpetuity, right? So people learn about the charity, so they donate money to the charity. So we're trying to do this good job. And yeah, so at that moment, I'm like, okay, my ADD is now hit. Uh-huh. It is official. I took 7/0, and my brain told me that 70 inches was 7 feet, even though I knew that 84. Yeah. If I want to be funny, I'd say even though I knew 88, you know, but I knew that 84 was the right number.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about disastrous. So bringing it back full circle, let's talk about how great the maker community is. Yeah. I called Brian Graham of Bristol, and again, he's my Festool rep, and I was crying. I was like, Brian, that part didn't make it onto camera. Like, because I was so, you see the realization, none of that scripted. Like, literally, I put my head down, and then the camera went off, and I cried. Ugh. And I was like, how are we fixing this? This table's due next week. We have to deliver it to North Carolina. And I called Brian. I was like, Brian, I really fucked up. You know, like, what do I do? And he's like, relax. You can make a breadboard. And I don't know how to make a breadboard. I never made a breadboard table before. Like, literally. So Brian saved that project. Thankfully, Josh at Free State Timbers had some chestnut.
Nice. Yeah.
I called him, like, Josh, you're not going to believe what I did. He's like, we got some. Come down here. So
yeah,
I went.
You're like, all right, got heading down to Free State.
right.
I'm like, oh, is he going to buy all new wood for an entire new table? And then, yeah, you're like
new breadboard table with a pine end.
Right. And yeah, and we, and then Brian saved the day. He came back 2 days later, and he taught us how to make breadboard ends using a Festool domino to save the project. Like, it was... The stretcher is a different story. Yeah, we were carrying the stretcher and we were exhausted, and we put it on the edge of the table and spun around, and it fell off, and there happened to be a knot in the center of the set that we didn't know went on there, and it snapped in two, and I got so angry I threw it across the shop. Like, like, I haven't been that angry in a long... Kendall, she's like, oh, I've never seen him that angry.
Yeah,
that was just like, you're like that up. Was I was fed up. I'm like, I am so done with this project and busted well tanks and the 12 people that showed up in the middle of the project,
right.
And breadboard ends and son of,
so, and then you go down. It was North Carolina, right?
So then, yeah. Like, so then I drive down to North. Miles. Yeah. So then I drive down to North Carolina. I put it in Apple Maps. Thank you, Apple. You know, rest in peace, Steve Jobs. Like, we have a pirate flag because of Steve Jobs. Like, right? You know, like, And the last, they said they sent me a text. I didn't get it, telling me a different way to go in, and I never got it. And the last 5 miles driving was on a fire road. So now the $10,000 table is upside down in a trailer, and I'm going 5 miles an hour the whole way. And I'm like, this just can't get any.
The distressed look, people like that.
That's what it did. It had some character marks when we get to it. So for us, every project does actually have a disaster moment.
Yeah.
I'm getting better at handling them, but if you want to talk about disasters, that one hit me hard.
Yeah, we just
but it ended up nice.
Oh yeah.
And the people don't know. They have no idea what happened.
No, the best part is when I carried the table in, the people that were building the house. The best part was when I was carrying the house, people were like, we didn't know who you were, and we thought you were like just buying like an IKEA table. We just heard you were bringing the dining room table. You made that?
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, no, the prostitute that we talked about. You
know, like, the old one.
Yeah, the old respectable prostitute.
Yeah, retired woodworker.
I'm like, no, I made the table. So yeah, so it in the end, it worked out. All our projects, collectively as makers.
Right.
Very few of them end up in the trash heap, right? I mean, there's a few that make it, but
yeah. I think that's one of the things. I think, you know, we're actively learning and making, and you know, as a knife maker, the joke is that knife makers don't make mistakes; they just make shorter knives. You know, because like,
it's a whole TV show about that, Fortune Fire.
Yeah,
right.
And actually, just we just finished a video, we finished the making of a set of. Fork, knife, and spoon forged blacksmith cutlery set, and I did a blacksmith knife with a scroll end to it, and twice the scroll broke off because it's all high carbon steel and I hadn't tempered it. And so, but I just made it work.
Yeah.
You know, do different things.
But yeah.
So and the handle was better at the end of it.
It
was a more comfortable.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. So like you make
comfortable steak knife.
Yeah. And I think I have a dining table at my house that I made, and I made it with breadboard ends. And I know the pitfalls now that come into breadboard ends, but I think you guys did it in a way that makes sense where you have a movable, you know, a floating spline or a floating tenon that, you know, allows for movement in the table.
And yeah, the best part of that was he only had like 2 hours. So he came, he's like, this is how you're going to do it. Right. He's like, this is how you're going to do it. I'm like, but you can't leave.
Yeah. Or that you're like and this like, is
your
what
country's
said.
Depending on you. Yeah. So, but it worked out, and that at the end of the day, that's all that matters, you know.
Yeah.
We got it. We delivered it on time. Yeah. Looking forward to the next one. We'll come up with another project and another charity. We'd like to do another build for Soldiers Journey Home next year. We're right talking on. To them. We'll see.
That's great.
And you guys will be invited. It'll be fun.
That'd
let's
be awesome.
Collab it. Let's do it.
That'd be cool. Right on. Cool. Well, let's finish up the podcast with a recommendation. So do you have a recommendation for the listeners? Somebody you like or something you like, something you think?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm glad you asked me that before we got started. So I can think
and you, I mean, throughout you've actually dropped a bunch of cool names throughout the whole podcast.
Yeah. Well, those are people that have inspired me. Right. You know, and there are people that still inspire me that are new. I mean, John Erickson's one of O Dark 30, you know, he's a good guy. I met him at Workbench Con 2 years ago, and we've become good friends. And he's a guy, again, a vet. So I like supporting, especially since I'm a first responder, but I like supporting our vets. And he's an up-and-coming guy that's got really cool, fun designs, and he kind of hits the vibe. Do you know what I mean?
What type of work does he do? Is he a woodworker?
Yeah, he's a woodworker.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a woodworker, and he goes under O Dark 30.
Okay.
He just retired here recently from the military. I'm trying to think. Yeah. And he, you know, he's a real good guy. You know, he's like I said, he's an up and coming. Like nice. You know, he's been doing it for a while, but he does it as his side hustle and he wants to go full time.
Nice.
There's very few of us that are blessed to kind of do what we do, right?
Yeah. And, right.
And he's newly retired, you know, he's still kinda working.
Trying to figure out yeah.
But he's
right.
just trying to figure out how he can make it his full time gig. So anybody can send him some love, that'll
cool.
definitely be cool.
First name again? Or his name again?
John Erickson.
John Erickson, gotcha.
Jonathan. All right, he's Derek. Got a strong beard, too. Jonathan. I'm like, well, you guys do, too. I'm not allowed to have one. So. Fire yeah. department.
We're not, you know, in the world of makers, we are the 98%, right? We're the bearded ones.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a volunteer since I was 18. Technically, I'm not allowed to have one.
Yeah, right.
The only time I had a beard is my dad died. We called it, I grew my Shiva beard.
No,
I did
nice.
The 30-day yeah. beard, you know, yeah. and that was, I kind of liked it. I thought it... What? You didn't like it?
It was weird. I was looking at old footage and I saw like,
the Shiva beard?
Oh. Well, yeah, I guess that's a good thing.
Dignified.
Dignified. That's right.
Is that what
yeah, they call it? Yeah, no, yeah. Well, the beard comes in gray.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Right, yeah.
You know, compared to the Dr. Stephen Strange, just gray that goes along here, you know, the whole beard comes in gray with the blonde hair top, you
Shiva
know,
beard.
So. Yeah. Yeah, the Shiva beard. Yeah, that's what great. I called it. I didn't know yeah. what else to call it.
Yeah.
Our brother Derek was in the Marines, and so he, you know, could never grow any facial hair. And then he drove for UPS, so then he could also not have facial hair. So, like, myself and Devin and then my brother
they
Drew
still
would
it
all have.
Yeah, so. The UPS it was, yeah.
What's the logic behind that?
Stupidity.
There's no stupidity. What'd you say?
Get stuck in tape.
That's what's going to happen. It's going to get stuck in tape.
One guy died in a tape accident.
Ruined it for the rest of us.
Got his beard stuck in. We don't want that to happen to you.
All I think about is that it was on the other night. Legally Blonde, I got a package for you. That was on the other night.
Legally Blonde.
Great.
Good movie reference. All right, Devin, what do you have for a recommendation?
In tradition of shouting out big names,
people who don't need recommendations.
Yeah. Travis Pastrana has a new channel. I think it's called Pastrana 199, but you don't have to really put it in the show notes. It's just like other than Nitro Circus. That's their new. You know Travis Pastrana? He does he was at like
Motocross.
X Games, but Nitro Circus. It was like Jackass back in the day, but they were talented. But he's a Maryland guy, and he's down near Annapolis. He's got his whole Pastrana land, and the biggest motorcycle guys and bike guys and skateboarders and all that stuff, they all go down there, and they all come to Maryland. And he's got this great video series called Gymkhana, or it used to be Ken Blocks, where they race cars and they do stunts all over. And he did his hometown one in Annapolis.
Oh, nice.
He jumped the canal in a WRX.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Around the circle, he's doing like drifts. It's a great, great video. It's got like 42 million. They don't need us.
But they don't need us.
His now he's doing like, it's like Travis 199. That's his number.
Okay.
And it's coming out with so much more content. I'm loving it.
Nice. I have seen that he's been putting up a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it's cool. Great. Really good stuff.
Nice.
There you go.
Cool. Well, my recommendation is Brandon Roos from Whiskey River Trading Company. He sells axes, and also I found out about him through the Axe Junkies community and through Axe Handles, Whiskey River Trading Company handles. So he makes does some like historical handles, things from like early earlier axe users. But he just recently came out or made available blanks, like wood blanks for making your own axe handles. So that's not something that people sell. Like I actually stopped at Free State on Monday, this Monday, and stopped and picked up some ash and some walnut to do like a laminated axe handle that I'm going to be making. But he is actually
through the bin on your way out.
Oh yeah, I will. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You have hickory or ash?
Do.
Yeah.
Cool is it?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But yeah. So he's actually selling blanks. So you know, 8 1/4 by 3 inch by anything, anywhere from like 28 inches to 40-something inches. So he's selling blanks to make your own handles, which is really cool because getting that is not as easy as it seems if you want to make your own axe handles. And I love buying and making and restoring axes. And so someone's actually now supplying wood that's specifically chosen and designed to make axe handles. So he's selling it. And they're pretty cheap too. He's selling the blanks for like $13 or $14. So it's pretty cheap. Yeah.
And especially for somebody that's doing metal work that's not used to doing woodwork, you know, right. You give them a handle and
yeah. Right. And so yeah, exactly. And if you don't really know,
hit up ArborTech and get a disc and just carve what you want to carve.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So, so you guys can check that out. It's at Whiskey River Trading Company on Instagram.
Or I should say, Sabretooth. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, Tiff.
They're all, what's the other one? Cutsaw or something that I talked to the guy.
And Cutsaw.
Talked to him.
They're really nice, by the way.
Yeah.
They're really cool.
Yeah. I met that guy at Maker Camp. He seemed the last night.
I've now alienated all the manufacturers. It's great.
No, see, we love them all.
That's right.
That's the thing. Cool. All right. Well, anything else? We're good.
Oh, good.
Recommendations, no, awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
for having us.
Once again, where can the listeners find you on social media?
The Crafty Wiener.
The Crafty Wiener, okay.
And what about the podcast studio?
That's actually now going under the Crafty Studio.
The Crafty Studio.
Underscore.
Oh, Crafty Studio Official.
Has it changed?
I'm gonna throw this one to Kendall. She handles.
She's not on microphone. She keeps talking. We're gonna have these blanks where Kendall's talking with.
Okay.
So if you're in the Maryland area and you want a beautiful spot to try out and get stuff produced,
with beautiful and get, people, because we're all beautiful,
and right. get video produced and made, and that's the tough part to do yourself.
Yeah.
Get it done right.
Yeah, I mean, we have options here. Option one is you can just come record your own stuff. That's right. Fine. And option number two is you can come record your stuff and get it videoed.
Right.
Yeah. Option three is, the piece de resistance is you come in here, you can film your podcast completely and get it fully edited.
That's the one. That's the one.
And Kendall will do it, and she'll do a bang-up job. And
yeah.
That's awesome. You get it. I mean, she's not sitting here, right? But, I mean, I am a 52-year-old guy having, I'm going to say because my mother raised me better, 20-something-year-old videographer who has a much better eye of what people want to see than is definitely.
That's great. Yeah, having someone who does it,
young and
who
hip.
Has yeah, who's in who's in the business, even that, you know, like mm-hmm. doing it for the first time, having people that are around you that can give you pointers and tell you like, oh yeah, just do this thing. It's like Devin mentions it often on the podcast that there are magic tricks that come along with any type of making, whether that's making something physical or doing something like mm-hmm. content creation, where, you know, if someone says, oh yeah, you can just like click this button and do this and it'll give you these three options. So you're like, oh, I wondered how people do that all this time. It's it's not a magic trick. It's just this one little thing or, yeah. you know, like there's tons of those things.
Yeah, the little keys, the little tricks.
Yeah, yeah, I'll end up by saying we've got a big project coming up that we're going to be filming. And so we should circle back in with you guys in April, if you'll have us back. Because yeah. by then that project will be done and nice. I'll probably have significant male pattern balls.
Your gray hair will
be That's right. I won't have one triple jam cider. I'll have like a six pack a day to get through it. But no, nice. it'll be a fun project yeah, for us to awesome. Talk about.
Yeah, so, man, it was great to talk to you. Yeah. Everyone who's listening, thank you guys all so much for listening. Make sure you don't forget to head over to The Art of Craftsmanship on YouTube and subscribe and check out our videos. We'll have a new video coming up shortly. And I've been putting up some shorts, which is fun. I have a series that I'm working on for an art piece where I'm making a handle from scratch for an axe that I'm going to then use and hopefully put it into an art show in January. So I'll have some videos, shorts, and reels on Instagram and on YouTube. So you can find Devin and I on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy. Again, you can find Scott at The Crafty Wiener on Instagram and also on YouTube.
Facebook and TikTok, Facebook and everywhere and else. Pinterest and all the nice socials.
And that's it, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. And those of you who will be watching for some of this, thank you all for watching as well. And we will talk to you all next time.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.